Hi, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Monique.
And welcome to Is Marriage Worth It?
We are just two single chicks, girls, women.
Anything but females.
Trying to figure out what marriage is like and is it worth it?
I'm assuming the best place to get the answers is from married people. Maybe engaged people, newlyweds, and even other singles.
Each episode, we will have a guest answering different questions we have or that you may have about marriage.
Join us as we try to figure out, is marriage worth it?
And if it is, I wonder if my future husband or yours is listening right now. Hi, I'm Monique.
I'm Janelle.
And welcome back to another episode of
Is Marriage Worth It?
Our guest today is Cara. I've met her in person maybe once or twice before, but I do follow her on Instagram and thought she would be a perfect guest on our podcast. So I reached out and said, hey, would you mind being a part of it? And she accepted and said yes. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here.
So to kick things off, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So as she said, my name is Cara. I'm a stay-at-home mom and wife right now. But I also do some consulting work for my husband's business. He is an entrepreneur. I think I said that right. Anyway, he's one of those. He has his own business and he is a talent manager for influencers. His company is called Greenwood Management. Shout out to him and them. So I help him with that. And I'm also doing like my own, I do like content-ish, but I'm working on like my own creative stuff as well, like off of social media. So, and I have a church. Yeah. I am co-founder of the One Rule Church that I run with my parents. So yeah, that's me.
All right.
Stay busy.
Oh, I do. It's too much.
So you are married with a kid. How long have you been married?
I've been married a little over 2 years now.
A little over 2 years. All right. Well, how did you meet?
So we met, I went to a school called Oakwood University, and I was acquaintances with Jack's nephew, Marcus, while we were in school. And Marcus and I have a mutual friend who we're both really close to. And so we both came out to LA back in our end of September, beginning of October, 2016. We came to LA for like a birthday weekend for our friend. And it's so funny because he had rented this house out. And Marcus, I just found out recently that Marcus invited Jack to meet me, but neither of us knew that at the time. And so he walks in and we like make eye contact. And I was like, oh, okay, he's tall. And then I went and walked by him. I did drive by to like see if he was cute up close. So then I could like circle back. And so I walked past and I was like, hi, I'm Cara. And before I could like keep going, he was like, hi, I'm Jack. And then he asked me a question. I don't remember what it was, but then we actually started talking and then we ended up talking for 3 hours after that. Wow. And what was funny though, was there was a guy at the party who had like, he liked me and had like a little crush on me or whatever. And so there were a bunch of people who like, no one really knew like that there. Cause we were having like a house party. And so he was like, telling the host girlfriend, like, you need to get everybody out of here. We need to get ready to go out, blah, blah, blah. And so all these people get kicked out and it's this huge, like, fiasco. Like it goes down. It's infamous now, just how crazy getting everybody out of the house was. And I found out after the fact that he did it thinking he would get rid of Jack. But Jack was there.
Oh, no.
Because he was Marcus's uncle. And so it didn't work. And I ended up spending the rest of the night talking to Jack. So it was like all of that drama for nothing. And then we went out for a little bit and then I ended up going over Jack's house and we talked until like I fell asleep. And then we woke up and talked some more. And I was like, do you have Skype? Because I was going back home to Detroit at the time. And he was like, yeah, okay. Like, who uses Skype, right? In 2016, but sure. And so I was like, well, hit me up. We should talk. And so I got home and we hit each other up and Skyped a couple of days later and have talked every single day since.
Oh,
that's like the most movie opening story.
It's so ridiculous. I can't even, it's such a ridiculous story, but it's true. True story.
Okay, hold on. I have a question just to, did you meet Jack before when you were at Oakwood, or you guys just had that mutual friend?
Yeah, we just had, so it was his nephew. And so okay. You know, obviously they've known each other forever. He has a sister who's 19 years older than him, for people who are like, how was his nephew in college with you? So him and his nephew are pretty much the same age. You know, they grew up together. They've always been really cool. And so I didn't know anything about him. We were apparently at alumni weekend at the same time in 2015. But I mean, there's so many people we never thought twice about each other. Right. but that party, different story. And he was like head and shoulders above everybody else except his nephew. So he walked in and he was really hard to miss. and then he smiled at me and I was like, oh, you're cute.
So then you went back to Detroit. You guys talked and whatnot. So when was the next time that you saw him?
So we talked for about 3 weeks before we both decided it would be like a good idea to schedule a visit. And I was like, okay, you live in LA. I live in Detroit. Clearly LA is the better place of the two to have like this get to know you weekend. But now, like, are you expecting me to fly myself out or like what's going to happen here? So it was very much so a test right out the gate. And I happened to be in San Antonio at the time with my sister. And so she's kind of getting the play by play of like how this is playing out. And so he's like, yeah, you should come visit. Like, I'll get your ticket, blah, blah, blah. And he literally like booked my ticket. And I was like, okay, all right. This might be a little something. And she was really impressed. And so, we scheduled it for like 3 weeks after that. So all in all, we talked for like 6 weeks before we actually saw each other again in person. And then I came to LA and spent a week in here and met a bunch of his friends and we hung out and had like our first official date and everything. And we were pretty solidified after that. Like, he asked me to come back 2 weeks later. And then he asked me to come back like 3 weeks, I think, after that, maybe not even 3 weeks, for Christmas, to spend a week with him and his family for Christmas. So, and he got the tickets for all of that and stuff too. And so I was just like, okay,
impressive. You know,
all right. I'm like, all right. I came back December 9th for his company holiday party. And that night he asked me to be his girlfriend. So
that's beautiful. Like,
and he told me he loved me that night too. It's mushy, but it was so magical because we're on the back lot at Paramount Pictures and in like this little like movie cafe scene or whatever, and we're just talking and there's music playing or whatever, and he's like, you know, telling me how he feels and all stuff. He's like, yeah, like, you know, I love you. Like, I love you. I know it's soon, whatever. And I'm just like, oh, and I, of course I bust out into tears.
You have to.
It was very cute. It was a very like magical night. I'm not even going to hold you. It was.
You literally had a movie moment. Like, this is something that I want. Just hearing you talk about it, it sounds so beautiful.
It was. It moved me to tears. And he said, I love you first, which was another thing that I was like, I think I generally was a person who said it first. And so that was another thing where I was like, I ain't saying it first. I don't care if I feel it. I don't care how long I feel it. I'm not saying it first. And so for it to happen when it did, one, I was kind of surprised because we'd only been talking for like 2 months. I was surprised that it happened when it did, but not surprised that that's how he felt. Because I think at that point it was kind of like, yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. Like, if I feel it, he probably is on the same page. So it was more of a formality at that point. But the moment he chose was really sweet.
So I'm guessing it didn't take you that long after he said it for you to reciprocate the word.
No, I said it right away. Time at all. Yeah.
All right. So he asked you to be his girlfriend then. What's the timeline between that and becoming engaged?
So I moved. We dated for about 6 months before I moved to LA. And at the point where he started asking me to like look for jobs and stuff in like January, and it took some time, but I was eventually able to find something and move, at the end of June of 2017. And so it was kind of understood, like, if I'm moving all the way across the country, there better be like, I'm not just here to be here, homie. And so that was pretty much understood. And it was just like, you know, obviously we hadn't been together that long. And so we needed to see how things progressed and how we worked in real life. So I wasn't expecting it like right out the gate, but it was kind of understood that if all things went well, that was the direction we were heading in, and it was probably going to happen the following year at some point. And so
did you live together when you moved to LA?
We did. And we ended up getting engaged in March of 2018. So I moved in at the end of June of 2017, and we got engaged in March the following year.
Okay. So before you got engaged, what was dating like? Because you moved out there, what was that like?
Dating was cool. We had a lot of like the same interests. We both like to go out and, you know, go dancing and hang out with friends and stuff like that. And so it was fine. Obviously there was some adjusting, especially living together, going from like being long distance to living together was an adjustment. And we definitely bumped heads early on. I think that happens with most people. Like, you bring two people who have different ways of doing things and being, and you bring them together. I think there's always some sort of clash or whatever. So we definitely experienced that. But we figured it out. And I think doing life together was fairly easy. Like, we're both pretty laid back personalities. And so it was just fun times, like get up and go and do stuff. And it was cool.
You literally moved out there. You moved in with him. Then you guys are figuring out, like, I guess how you guys operate, like, together and whatnot. So how was that adjustment really for you though? Like, with, I guess, was your family in Detroit or anything like that?
Yes, all of my family was in Detroit. So that was definitely hard. Like, our relationship was not the hard part. The hard part was everything else, like moving to a new city. I didn't really like my job. Initially, it started out okay, but as time went on, I didn't really love it. And then I ended up getting laid off. And they weren't completely transparent about just what they were expecting and what the plan was when I first moved out there. Because if I had known that, I wouldn't have come out there to work there. So that was a little bit stressful. And being away from my family was really hard. Being away from like my spiritual community was really hard. Not having a ton of friends of my own outside of his friendships that he already had before I got here, was difficult. And even with like working and stuff like that, the people that I worked with were all older than me. And so it wasn't like we could hang out and, you know, and I didn't have like a whole office full of coworkers. There were only four of us, including me.
Oh, wow.
So all of that was really difficult. And I did have a really hard time adjusting. And I think in some ways that did take a bit of a toll on Jack, because I think he was thinking like, I'm going to be out here and it's going to be all, you know, happy go lucky. But the transition had its difficulties. And so like, even though we were pretty good for the most part, there was other stuff, just like other stressors and things.
The outside influences.
Yeah. That definitely, you know, took a toll in a way, but, I think that both of us, I feel like both of us were just kind of committed to where we were at by that point. And so it wasn't like, oh, this is hard. Like, I hate you and I don't want to be here. It's like, you know, it was just like, you know, this, all of this is rough and we just got to deal with it and work through it together. And that's what we did.
Were your parents supportive of like the move and everything like that?
They were. They loved Jack. It obviously they would have preferred that I stayed in Detroit, but the door opened so easily for me to go. And if nothing else, they did trust Jack and trusted that he would make sure that I was okay. And they could always visit and everything too. Like, my mom came out for Christmas that year and she went up with us to visit Jack's family in Sacramento. And so she got to meet his family and see where he comes from. And his family and my family have always gotten along really well. Especially like our moms do really well together. So my mom seeing that that's where he comes from and all that stuff, I think if she had any worries or doubts, like, that for sure put them aside. Cause she's like, oh, I love him. I love his nieces and nephews and his mom is so sweet and his aunt this and his cousin that. And I'm like, yes, girl, I know. I know they're great. Right. They're great. I know.
Your engagement story. What was that like?
So full transparency, I found out I was pregnant in January of 2018. So that kind of hit us both a little bit like, whoa, like what happened? Cause I don't know, can I say that I was on birth control? Like, I don't know how deep your podcast gets, but we weren't expecting it. And so it was a bit of a shock, but like, our families were super supportive and Jack was super supportive of me. And so it was like something that was unplanned, but it wasn't something that we were not equipped to handle, if that makes sense. And so he was initially, I found out, you know, after the fact, obviously, that his plan had been to propose to me in the summer, but by, you know, early on in the year, he knew that I was going to be showing and I was going to have a big old belly. And so he was like, you know, I figured you might want to, you know, have your engagement pictures, whatever else, be taken before you look like someone's mother. And I was like, I see what you did there and I appreciate it. And so
we love a considerate king.
We do. We do. And so he ended up planning a trip to Hawaii in March. And his best friend and his best friend's girlfriend came with us. And we, you know, just were having a good time in Honolulu or whatever. And he had told some people what was going to happen. And there were a couple of things that were said in the lead up that had me like, like, what's going on here? Because we had already done like the ring sizing and all of that stuff. So I knew it was coming at some point, but I didn't know when. And so we're in the car. This one instance still stands out to this day. So we're in the car and he's talking about us going to Hawaii and he had invited his friend Conrad to come with us. And Conrad was like, he was like, you sure you don't want to come? Da, da, da. And Conrad's like, yeah, no, it's fine. I'll be there for the real thing. What? And, you know, me being Sherlock Holmes here. I'm like, the real thing. Are we talking about a wedding? Like, what? What's going on here? But like, they just kind of glossed over it. And so I'm like, okay. So then we get to Hawaii, and the little things that we had planned and stuff that I thought might be the opportunity to do it, either like fell through or we changed plans or something like that. And so after like the first, we were there for like 4 or 5 days. After like the first couple of days, I was like, you know, like it's probably not going to happen. And so I wasn't looking for it anymore. So we get dressed up and we go out to dinner. And we eat, and then Benjamin and Christina, his best friend and his best friend's girlfriend, were like, we have to go back to the room to get something. Do you want us to take your food back? And then we'll be back. And so I was like, yeah, fine. So Jack's like, okay, let's go walk on the beach. And so I'm like, okay. So we're walking and he stops and is like, let's take a selfie. And I'm like, okay. And so we're just like taking pictures. It's like sunset on Waikiki, very beautiful atmosphere. And then he takes both of my hands in his, and he's like, you know, I love you. And, you know, he starts off his speech, and initially I'm like, okay, like, yeah, like, I love you too. Oh, this is so sweet. You're taking a moment to like express yourself. But then he's like, I know I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I don't want to spend it with anyone else. And I'm like, oh my God, like, is this what I think it is? And then really, like, I like almost immediately burst into tears, and then the rest was almost like a blur. And he gets down on one knee and he holds the ring up, and I'm so busy crying that I can't even get a yes out. And for anyone who's like listening to this, I don't know if I still have the pictures, but he has some pictures of my ugly cry face on his Instagram if anybody wants to see those. But yeah, I'm like bawling my eyes out, and he's like, so is that a yes? Like, what are we doing? And I'm like, oh, yes, yes. And then I look and I see Benjamin and Christina are like behind this tree recording it on their GoPro. So that's happening. And I'm like, oh, everybody's in on it. He was like, yeah. And so, you know, we took our pictures and everything. And then we kept walking up the beach, and we get to this resort, I guess. And we go in, and there's like this back patio situation. And it turns out that his other best friend, Jessica, and her husband, Eric, had set up for us to have like dessert and champagne and stuff at this really nice restaurant right off the beach to celebrate. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, it was so,
that is adorable. So thoughtful
of them. Yeah. And then, you know, we just had a good rest of the trip, and I was very happy with my ring. It's a peach morganite in a rose gold setting. I told him I didn't want a diamond, and he did his own research and found something so beautiful. Like, I absolutely love my ring. So that was the other thing I was really happy about. And yeah, we were engaged.
He definitely put in the work for that engagement.
He did.
That was very well planned out.
It was. It definitely caught me by surprise. So kudos to him, because I'm not the easiest person to surprise.
Once you let your guard down and it's like, now's right. My time to strike.
Exactly.
So what was wedding planning? Did you like immediately go into wedding planning mode after getting engaged?
So thankfully, no, because we were in baby prep mode at that point. And so our son was born on September 1st. And so I knew some, like my mom and a couple of people wanted me to get married before, but I'm like, no, there's no reason to do that. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it. And I would rather not be pregnant when I'm getting married, if it's all the same to everybody else. And so that gave us a lot of time to plan and do all of that stuff. So wedding planning started in like December of 2018. And I did not want a big wedding at all. I had told Jack from when we were dating that my preference was to go to like Fiji or Bora Bora or somewhere crazy. and elope and have this crazy honeymoon and then come back and just have like a big party as like a reception for everybody, super informal, take some great pictures, but I didn't want this whole big thing. But that is not acceptable to my social butterfly husband. And so he's like, yeah, no, we're having a wedding. We're having a whole wedding. And I was like, I don't want it. I also didn't want to do any of the planning stuff because I'm like, that is not, I don't care about any of this. So I don't want to do any of it. And so don't put me in a situation where I have to do any of it, especially now I'm, you know, I have an infant. I don't, just leave me alone. And so thankfully, my aunt and my cousin and two of their church friends are like this crew of like gal pals that have been together for as long as I've been alive and then some. My aunt was just like, we'll plan your wedding. And this is our last wedding that we're going to plan. You know, we're going to make it beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, thank God.
Wow.
I want no parts of any of this. Like what little I had to do, like I found the venue. But I also wasn't in Detroit. So that was difficult. It was also kind of difficult to coordinate because I wasn't there. So I had to have a lot of help. And so my mom stepped up and filled in with certain things. Like she visited the venue and took the checks to like pay for everything. Helped me find like a place to get the cake and everything. So she helped out a lot with like the on the ground stuff. And then I just did the invitations. Jack's mom helped a lot with mailing and doing all of that stuff. So I had a lot of help because I was so over. When I tell you, I was the most anti-bride ever. Like every step of the way, somebody was like pushing, like, okay, Car, you cannot like half do this. You have to, like his best friend, Jessica, was here. She was helping, like we really like solidified our relationship during this process because she, I didn't have anybody else to go wedding dress shopping with me. And so she helped me with that. She knew someone who alters dresses. So she was able to like direct me to her to do my alterations and everything. And the dress that I got ended up needing a lot of alterations because it didn't look how I wanted it to when I got it. And so we did several fittings to get it right. And Jessica's like, I know you don't want to keep going back, but Car, you're going to regret it. And Jonathan is so big. So Jack is his nickname. Jonathan is his real name. No one from home calls him Jonathan. I mean, calls him Jack. All those people call him Jonathan. Everyone here calls him Jack. And I'm always stuck in the middle because no one knows who I'm talking about if I use the wrong name. So if you hear me say Jonathan or Jack, I'm talking about the same person.
Same person. Got it.
But that's she's good like, to know.
Yes. She's like, Jonathan is so tall and like, you know, he's going to take over if you don't, you need drama and you need this. And so I'm like, fine. And so like, she literally like dragged me to getting my dress perfect. But once it was done, I was like, yeah, I would have regretted not doing the work. And so I'm thankful that she pushed me to do it. And so all of that happened. Thankfully, everybody back home did most of like the hard stuff. And I was very, in that sense, I was very like, I am not a bridezilla at all. Like whatever you guys think is best, go for it. I'm not tripping at all. And so, and I think in that sense, like nobody was mad at me or hated me at the end of the process because I was so easy. It's like, do we want to do this? And we're like, okay. We think this, that's great. That's fine. I let one my bridesmaids
kind of. One of the easiest brides to work with.
Yeah. My sister went, she was my matron of honor. She, I was like, these are the colors you go find. I don't care. You know, like don't, obviously don't not dress up, but like whatever you like, I don't care. And so she's like, I found this really amazing dress and I don't know if it's in. I was like, that's perfect. And I'll just have the bridesmaids like pick their own dresses in this color scheme. Okay. Like whatever your hair wants to be, however your makeup is going to be, like these are the parameters so we don't look crazy. But like, I'm not, I was so just like, please do not stress me out.
I want to plan a wedding. I'm not trying to do nothing.
No.
I just want to show up and look cute.
Listen, even showing up and looking cute, like work. You got to do hair rehearsal appointments. And that was necessary because if I had just gone the day of, like, my hair wouldn't have been how I wanted it to look. Makeup. That was also, we need to do a trial run of the makeup because I would have looked crazy if I hadn't done what I thought I wanted. She tried it and it looked a hot mess. And so we had to like make some adjustments on the day of, and everything turned out fine, but like, it really is a production. And we actually got married in California at the courthouse before we went to Michigan so that we wouldn't have to worry about licensing and all that other
stuff. Right.
So we went, and our, I guess, brother, he's not a real brother, but really close friend, WAP married us. And wedding weekend was a lot of fun though, because it was also Judah's birthday weekend. So the day before the wedding on Sabbath, we had like a big church service, and, you know, I put it out there on Facebook and everything, like, Judah is being blessed. And so there were a bunch of people already in town for the wedding. And then all of my family and, you know, people I grew up with, church family, all that stuff are already in Detroit. And so our tiny little church was packed full of people for my baby's blessing. And my dad did the blessing, which was something I'd always wanted. So that was really like emotional. And he took that time to like pray over Jack and I as well. And then I preached, me and my mom sang, like, it was very much so like giving all of Jack and his family, like, a look into like my world and what I come from. And so, you know, it was just, it was all the feels, everybody was crying. It was like a really great moment. And then afterwards we had like cake and ice cream and everyone saying happy birthday to Judah. so it's just a really good day. And then wedding day ended up being great because, you know, obviously you get up early, you do all of that stuff. So the prep wasn't necessarily the most fun, but we started on time. Hallelujah.
That's great.
Wow. Okay.
Because I was telling, I was on everybody, like, listen, what we not going to do is be running late. And so I think we started like 5 minutes late because my grandmother was late getting there, but like 5 minutes, come on.
Like, that's amazing.
Right. And I was there ready. I'm like, why are we not, like, why aren't we signing? We're like, your grandmother's not here. And I'm like, bruh, like, what is that? What is going on? No, but my cousin sang me down the aisle, and one of Jack's groomsmen played. So that was really special. We wrote our own vows, so that was special. The ceremony was not long, so that was great.
Love a short ceremony.
Girl. Because I don't have time. And WAP's speech was really good. You know, like the officiant has to say stuff. He did a really good job with his portion. And then we just had a big party for the reception. That was really, really important for me. And there were just like little things that we got to do to personalize it. Like there's a song by Natalie Grant called I'll Always Be Your Baby. And it's like about a girl getting married, and now I'm a grown up and like my dad's walking me down the aisle, but like, you know, I'll always be your baby. And the first time I heard that song years and years and years ago, I was like, I have to do some kind of something with this song. At the time I was still super Adventist, and so dancing was not on the table. So I was just going to sing it to my dad. But by the time I got married, a lot of things had changed. And so I convinced him to do a dance with me. And one of Jack's friends actually helped me record my own cut of the song. And so I surprised my dad by us dancing to this really special song. And I was singing it. And just, you know, that was like my little tribute to him. And then one of our favorite songs is Hollywood Swingin'. And so it's like, okay, the dance is over and we're going off. And then you hear that, and so he starts, you know, he pulls out these sunglasses and I'm looking all like shocked and stuff like that. Of course we had planned it, but everybody is like, oh my goodness, because if you know my dad, you know that he's super just chill, and that is not, dancing is not his vibe. And so they're like, what is going on? He pulls out the sunglasses and then, you know, he starts doing his little shimmy stroke or whatever. And then I come out and we had our little, I choreographed a little thing for us to do. And we did it. And everybody's just like, oh my gosh. And that got the party started. I'm like, okay, everybody come onto the dance floor. We're all dancing the Hollywood Swinging. And then, you know, you play Cupid Shuffle or something like that. And it was a wrap. Like, it was flag surfing and Crank That Soulja Boy and, you know, everything. And I did an outfit change because I'm extra, you know, like that. I had a very sparkly dress to wear and dance in. And we just had a blast. Like, everybody sweated their hair out. It was just great. And that was the takeaway. Like, everybody left and all we heard afterwards was just how much fun everybody had. And that is what I wanted. Like, Jack Stab was dancing with my cousin. Like, it was, he had his James Brown footwork. Like, I had no idea that he could move the way he did. And his family's Caribbean. So we had like some soca and reggae, and it was just like the best time ever. Like, it was wedding day. Like, in hindsight, I don't regret having it because it was so fun. Like, it was just so fun. So it's a lot of work, but I think if you have like good people around you and you enjoy that kind of thing, then it's worth it for sure.
That's dope. So that I guess after the high of, like, you know, your whole wedding day and everything like that, going back into, like, I guess, quote unquote, the real world, what was your first year of marriage like? Because, I mean, you're a mom and a wife and, like,
yeah,
what was that like?
So our first year of marriage was rough, largely because there was just a lot of stuff that happened. Like, right after, 3 weeks after we got married, Jack's uncle had a brain aneurysm passed away. And so that was a really, really difficult thing for his family to go through. And then he ended up, so he was taking paternity leave and stuff like that. And his job ended up just like not handling everything right. And so he started his own business because of what happened with paternity leave and his job. And that ended up working out fine, like in our favor, honestly, because of how they handled things. But, you know, in the moment, it's like, all right, like sink or swim, you know, like if you're, you're familiar with starting a business or whatever, you have, it's a lot of pressure doing, branching out on your own with a family, and it's a hustle. And so he was really busy, which, you know, put responsibility for the household on me. And then COVID happened. And so it was, and so now we're like up under each other all day, every day. So it was just, it was a lot. And I ended up, I was working at the time and working with like an online company part-time. And I ended up calling their like mental health thing for counseling. And like, we couldn't do marital counseling, but I was able to do counseling by myself and kind of talk about some of the problems we were having. And talking to my mom too, because like, as I've gotten older, I realized how much we're alike, and Jack and my dad are like a lot alike in a lot of ways. And so having the therapist kind of gave me like that third person perspective, and then my mom to kind of tell me what I needed to do. It just created like a perspective shift. And Jack and I had some tough conversations. But we ultimately were able to land in a place where we had just like a better understanding, and we both had to kind of take, we had been just kind of like fast forwarding through everything and just like on autopilot, getting everything done. But when we kind of took a second to take stock, it's like, we've been through a lot, you know, even with COVID, like my uncle had died before. So not before COVID, but like really, really early on. And he didn't die from COVID, but because of that, we couldn't do, no, I lied. he died before COVID. He died in like February, but I wasn't able to go home. That's what happened. I wasn't able to go home for the funeral. And so that was really hard. So like his mom lost a brother and then my mom lost a brother. And then we're dealing with all the life stuff. And we had just been dealing with so much all the time since I moved. Like I moved and then there was always something. And so it's kind of taking inventory. Like we've been through a lot and we've been so focused on like getting through everything that like we haven't really even had time to really focus on us. And so, you know, just taking time to kind of reset and refocus on, you know, our relationship and, you know, still having to take time to do that to this day. You know, they say that marriage is work and, or it's hard work. And I don't think it's so much hard work as much as it is just intentional work. A lot of problems and stuff arise because you're not being intentional about the things that you need to work on within yourself. Like you have these two people, each of them have things that they need to work on within themselves to make the relationship work better. And so just taking the time to be intentional about what you need to do. That's the hard part, not because it's actually hard. And not because it's objectively hard, but because getting over ourselves is hard. And so if you're willing to be humble, if you really love and care about the person that you're with, and you're willing to deal with your own stuff and make the adjustments that you need to make for the relationship to work better, then it's not so hard. It's hard because we make it hard on ourselves because we don't want to get over ourselves.
Right.
And you want to think that the other person, you want to think that that person is responsible for things that they're not responsible for. Like Jack is not responsible for my happiness. Jack is not responsible for my mental health. Jack is not responsible for me taking care of myself. But yeah, he's not responsible for my stuff. I'm responsible for all of that. And when I take responsibility for myself and hold myself accountable, then our relationship works better. And, you know, same is true for him. Like, I am not your problem. If there's something that's not working or, you know, whatever else, you have to check yourself first. And I think generally speaking, when we check ourselves, we're able to differentiate between what we need to do differently and what's even fair to ask of the other person. And I think that there are things within a marriage that are fair to ask for. But you have to do that work within yourself first to be able to recognize what you realistically can expect from someone outside of yourself, because you can't change anybody else, but you can always have control over what you do and how you respond.
That's a very good, that's a good point that I don't think I've heard stated quite like you stated it.
Oh, thank you.
Now it has me thinking, what other advice do you have?
Agreed.
Communication is really important. Not just what you say, but how you say it. But even that, like it all comes back to you. Like you have to think about, what am I asking for? Why am I asking for it? If I'm bothered by something, why am I bothered by it? You know, what is, if I feel a way, what is making me feel this way? Is it this other person? Is it something within myself? Like, it's like we try to have these conversations or we have these arguments and these fights and whatever else, and you don't get anywhere because that internal work hasn't been done first. And so I think for Jack and I, learning how to, so there's that aspect of it, but then it's also learning how to communicate the work that you've done to the other person in a way that they can receive it. So it's two parts. You do the work within yourself, but then you also have to know your spouse. And so how I communicate with Jack is different than how I communicate with like my mom, for example. Like my mom understands and receives information differently, right? And so who is my audience? If my audience is Jack, there's a certain way that I need to approach the conversation. There's a certain way to approach making points in a way that he'll be able to get it. And that's still something that I have to work on. In a lot of ways, just because it's like knowing and doing don't always
go together.
Right. And so it's, you know, it's always a work in progress. But communication is super important, and looking at yourself first to know what it is exactly that you're trying to communicate. And I think cutting down on the extra stuff, like, because if you take the time to understand what's bothering you, to understand why it's bothering you, then you know exactly what you need to ask for. And so let's say like the dishes aren't getting done and it's bothering me that the dishes aren't getting done. I could like go off on him for the dishes not being done, or I can deal with myself. Okay, I'm bothered. Why? Maybe I'm tired. Maybe I'm, you know, stressed out. Maybe I feel overwhelmed. Okay, let's address that, because the dishes are not really the issue. The issue is I'm tired. The issue is I'm overwhelmed, whatever else. What can I ask Jack to do differently so that I don't feel this way, so that I'm not freaking out over something silly like dishes? And so then it's like, okay, maybe I need to sleep in one morning. You know, like I usually get up with Judah. Maybe I need to sleep in. Maybe I need some time to myself, you know, take it out, go do something, give me a couple hours just to like be home and chill. Maybe I need a little longer time. I need like a mommycation or something like that, you know, but I can't ask for any of that if I don't take time to deal with it. And I could be communicating about dishes and we're having fights and arguments about silly little things when the issue is something else entirely. And that's not getting fixed because that's not what I'm sharing with him. And same for him. You know, it's like you feel a way about something silly. Dig into that, dig deeper. And I think for guys, it's harder to be vulnerable and, you know, check their own emotions and see what's happening inside. But it's helped us. And, you know, gently on my end, learning to gently, you know, have you thought about this? But asking those questions has helped him. To be able to identify like, okay, I feel this, what do I need? Oh, you need time with your friends. And so Jack, for example, has a designated night every week to go hang out with his friends, guilt-free. Like we already know it's in our schedule. And so unless he decides to not take that time, I know he's going to be gone during this period of time. Judah's my responsibility and we're good because it's in advance. It's planned. We know, and I'm willing to give him that because he does need it. He works super hard. He needs that time. And maybe, you know, he wouldn't have thought to ask for it if I hadn't asked the question, like, what do you need? Like, are you okay? So again, thinking about what you can do, because I could have waited around for him to figure it out. Maybe he never figures it out. Right. But if I'm being proactive about what I can be proactive about, asking questions, seeing if he's okay, taking time, like, we need to talk about this. What needs to happen? And then being willing to make adjustments on my end to the extent that I'm able to make them. All of that I think is important, but it all does come back to just like that, not being selfish, but being self-aware and being focused on yourself in the sense that I can only control my actions. I can only control my reactions. And so in this situation, what can I do? It's always asking in the situation, what can I do? And then moving accordingly.
That's a word.
So earlier on, like in your little introduction, you said that you were a co-founder of a church. So has spirituality played like a major role in your relationship and marriage?
I think so, just because it's something that's really not just important, but it's a part of like my life and what I do. And so even if Jack wanted to get away from it, he can't. But thankfully he's not trying to. And so in early on when we were dating, I made sure to like invite him out to Detroit on a weekend when I was speaking at my church, and, you know, just kind of giving him context. Like, this is a big part of who I am. And it's, it means a lot to me, and I'm not sacrificing this aspect of my life for anybody. And I was happy at that time to see that he was very supportive and, you know, like intrigued, like, okay, like this was a great message and these are great ideas. Like, you know, have you thought about this? Blah, blah, blah. And so him being really supportive through every step of what I have done and my family has done has been really important. We're not super religious. Like I was Seventh-day Adventist, I'm not anymore. He was Seventh-day Adventist, he's not anymore. And so I think how we both relate to God is our own like individual journey. But what I will say is that I believe that we both seek God in the ways that we seek God. And I believe that we both receive clarity on what we need to receive clarity on when situations arise and, you know, we need to do whatever. I think am more into it than Jack is, but I don't think it's a hindrance to our relationship in any way. I don't think it's like I'm super into it and he's just like over it and doesn't care. Like if I'm doing something or putting something out there, he's supportive and interested in what I'm doing. You know, I don't think we're, I think just for me, spirituality is such an individual thing. I think the way I was raised within Christianity, I think that at times there's so much emphasis on God and what a relationship is supposed to look like and how you're supposed to be, that practicality and the reality of us as humans gets lost. And so I don't believe personally for me that being spiritual to a fault would work. I think we are both, we're both our own people. And I think that us both having room to interact with God on our own terms as individuals, and then to bring that together when it makes sense to bring it together, as opposed to it being a formality or, you know, something that we do because we're supposed to do it. I think that that works for us, and everybody is different. What works for everyone is its own thing. And so I would never like say, because this works for me, that's what someone else needs to do. But I do think that, you know, there's just room to be human, and it's less about what should be or what's supposed to be, and more about who you are as individuals and what works. You know, if you both believe in God, you know, in the same way, and there's overlap and that's what you're comfortable with, then great. But just doing it for the sake of doing it, I think it has the potential to lull a couple into this sense of being like, you feel like you're okay, even if you're not, because like we're going through the motions, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But maybe neither of us are very happy. Maybe neither of us are really fulfilled, and we're not really dealing with the issue. We're not dealing with us because we don't have to, because a good marriage, quote unquote, is, you know, this kind of idea outside of the two of us that we aspire to, rather than a relationship that we build around who we are and figuring out what works and allowing God to use our marriage to strip us of ourselves. Because I think that I think going back to like when people say it's hard, like I always hear like, I'm used to doing things my own way. I'm used to, you know, how I see things, and marriage shows you yourself. And I'm like, I don't know what you think relationships do in general, but if you get really close to anyone by nature of that closeness, you're going to have to deal with yourself. And marriage and parenthood are the two relationships that expose the truth about who you are the most. But if you haven't been practicing that personal accountability and checking yourself in the mirror before that, it is going to be really difficult at that time. Not because, again, like the concept itself is objectively difficult, but because you don't know how to get over yourself. And marriage, parenthood, that's constantly getting over yourself, constantly evaluating what you could do better, and being intentional about what you have control over, and learning to love unconditionally, learning to love other people the way that they need to be loved, not how you want to love them or how you think they need to be loved. And that's hard. And so for me, spirituality and a relationship with God is just an extension of all of that. And so I feel like as long as my marriage is functioning in that way, then like for us, that is what works because that's the priority. And who God is to Jack, I can't control that. And I have no desire to control that. Who God is to me, Jack can't control. And I have no, you know, we both believe in Jesus and, you know, all that stuff. So that hasn't changed. But I think how we practice spirituality in the context of our marriage is a reflection of the relationships that we've developed with God on our own, as opposed to it just being like this formality, you know, you do it because you're supposed to type.
Right. And it just sounds like you guys have respect for each, whatever each other's beliefs are.
Yes. And I mean, they're still similar. They're still founded in, you know, pretty much the same thing. We both were raised Adventist. And so there's a lot of, you know, things that you
just foundational things that are overlap. Yeah.
And so it's not even so much that we're just different as much as it is, you know, where we are in our journeys is different.
Right.
And so I have to give him room to journey, just like he has to give me room to journey. And I think it makes the journey easier to not put parameters on what that's supposed to look like, if that makes sense. I don't want to sound like I'm like talking around it, but I don't get asked this question often, so I haven't even really thought about how to articulate it. But it's that it's giving each other room to journey, you know.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I have a question. Was marriage like a goal for you?
It was once upon a time. And I'm sure you can imagine being raised SDA, like it's like,
yeah,
that's what you do, you know, get married. And I think around the time that I met Jack, I was just then getting to a place where I was like, marriage is not aspirational. Like it's not something to aspire to, not because it's not a beautiful thing, but because joining yourself with someone in that way isn't a thing to just do.
Right.
And I think if you are aspiring to it, then your priorities are different than are the priorities of someone who is happy and content with who they are and would be perfectly fine being, you know, single or like, you don't need marriage to make you feel fulfilled or good about yourself. You're not looking for someone else to complete you or validate you or anything like that. I think your priorities are different in dating and having relationships because you don't have an end goal. In the sense that like, you don't have an agenda, let's say that.
Right.
Not so much that you don't have an angle, but that you don't have an agenda. And so I can be free to get to know this person, good, bad, ugly, and then make a conscious, intentional decision about whether or not to bind myself legally to this person. Because I think when you're thinking about it, like I need to get married, like that's something, a marriage is a goal. It's a thing that I have to check off my list. Then it becomes almost like, you know, going to college and getting a job and, you know, it's like this, there's all these things that you check off. And where, at least for me, like, I believe you can, you know, you can change colleges, you know, at, not at the drop of a hat, but it's very doable.
Right.
You can change careers if that's what you want to do. It's doable. But a marriage, it's something you're committing yourself to. And ideally, you know, you're being very intentional about that when you go in. And I think, I'm saying that to say, I think that making it a goal isn't wise just because it takes the focus away from you being whole and complete within yourself. If that's your focus, then I think you approach the idea of bringing on a partner, not someone to complete you, not the whole help me, you know, rib, all of that nonsense. Like it's, we're two people who have to do life together.
Right.
This is a group project. Think about it as a group project in school. This is a group project. Most of us who were good students hated group projects because you end up doing all of the work and the other person sucks. Or the other people sucks. And it's just like, I would have rather have done this by myself. Like, why do I have to partner with people? If you think about marriage as a group project,
it's way less desirable.
You get real particular about who you would want to be your partner. Like, most people in your class absolutely do not apply. Or qualify, not apply. Absolutely do not qualify. But maybe there's this person in your class who like does really good work and you enjoy being around them. And you know that they're reliable and dependable, and you can count on them to handle whatever it is that is their split of the project. That's the kind of person that would be a good partner for marriage. That if you're thinking about it as a group project, the same way you maybe would get excited to work with this person, not because they're your friend, not because of whatever, but because like they do good work. When you're thinking about marriage, like it's not enough to love you. It's not enough right. to like you. It's not enough to be cool spending time with you. It's life is happening. Can we do life together? When stuff gets hard, when there's loss, when jobs are lost, when you have children and they're running up the walls, when people are dying, when a pandemic happens and we have to be stuck with each other day in and day out for weeks on end, like when craziness, chaos is all around us, can we still be functional together? If the answer to that question is yes, and we're equally yoked in that way, mm-hmm. then maybe marriage is a good idea, because this person, having a person like that by your side, is going to make all of that stuff easier to navigate, because you don't have to do it alone. And you know that you will not be alone when it counts the most. And so for me, when people ask me like, you know, about marriage and stuff, I'm like, Love is not enough. Never has been and never will be. You can love a lot right. of people and not have not be able to have any kind of relationship with them. There are plenty mm-hmm. of people who I love with my whole heart who I can't be close to because the partnership aspect isn't there. But with Jack, it was like the pieces that I believed were necessary for building a life. And in terms of just our vision, and what we both wanted our lives to look like, what we were building towards, I was very confident that we would be able to support each other in that and becoming the best versions of ourselves. And as you know, time has gone on, a lot of life has happened, and I don't know that I would have been able to get through it with anyone else and still, you know, and be able to smile at them and, you know, share a bed with them, or, you know, like, listen, if it had been anybody else, we might have been, you know, out of here a long time ago. But with this particular person, I was thinking about that and, you know, thinking about them as a parent, thinking about them, you know, as a grandparent, thinking about where they fit into their family and where you fit into their family. All of that stuff matters to him. He's an amazing, amazing father to our son. Judah takes after his dad in so many, you know, little ways, and all of those are beautiful. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better example of what a man is for my son. And I want him to grow up, you know, better than we are, right? Like the mm-hmm. sum total of the work that we've done as individuals, like, you're better than both of us, and you can go on and be better for your kids, and then they can be better. And that's the legacy that we're leaving. Seeing that happen in real time is, you know, it's beautiful. And that's how it confirms, you know, the choice that I made. And so those are things that you have to think about. You can love somebody, you can have fun with them, enjoy their company, have chemistry, all of that good stuff. But if you can't do life together, and if that's not what you're looking for, you'll miss the signs when you're dating. Like, how are they with finances? And people say this all the time, but how are they with finances? How do they handle conflict? How do they handle things when the road gets rough? Are they willing to hold themselves accountable? Are they willing? Are they dependable? Can you count on mm-hmm. them to be there for you when you need them? Are they selfish? You know, and all of us are selfish to an extent, but how selfish are they?
Right.
You know, like, all of that stuff, you really have to pay attention to it, because if you don't, you can find yourself tied for life to someone who you're not happy with.
Exactly. You know,
and life is happening, and it's a miserable experience because of the person that you chose. So
Wow. But I'm always going to think about like marriage with like a group project type of thing. And that'll make me think twice now.
I'm telling you, that's what it is. And you should think twice. Like when, especially when women ask me, I'm like, girl, do you like group projects?
I actually love that so much.
No, that's like the greatest.
Then I don't know if you want to get married. No, wait for the person who you would want to do a group project with. If you find that, then please, by all means, go marry. But until then, I'm telling you, you're going to regret it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
All right. I want to thank you so much for coming on our podcast and just letting us a little bit into your life and sharing some words of wisdom with us. Before we let you go, we have one last question that we ask all of our guests. And that question is,
is marriage worth it?
Yes, if you can do a group project with that person. I can do a group project with Jack. So yes it is, but on that very important condition.
All right, so marriage is worth it if you can do a group project with that person. Is there anything that you would like to plug, social media, is there anything like that?
Yes, you can follow me at Kara, K-A-R-A Marie, M-A-R-I-E Young, all one word, on all of my socials, I'm pretty sure. And if you are interested in the One Rule Church, that is at One Rule Church on Instagram. And you can also contact us on the website, www.theonerulechurch.com. And yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. You can follow Marriage Worth It at Is Marriage Worth It on Instagram and Twitter, and marriageworthit@gmail.com if you have any questions, would like to be a guest. Thanks for listening.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And this has been
Is Marriage Worth It?